This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avrican. This day, September 16th, 1752, was actually September 4th, 1752, but no, it was actually written on... I've already, 15 seconds into this podcast, confused myself, and that is in many ways the purpose of this podcast. Here is the deal. This show, as you know, listeners, is focused on key dates. We do a show on a certain date. We pick a thing that happened on that date in the past, and we talk about it. And we do that throughout American history, and we occasionally do stuff from very early on in our history, the 1600s and the early 1700s. And we recently got a note from a listener, Amory, wondering which calendar we are using when we do stuff from before the 1750s. And that is one of those questions, folks, where you don't even realize that you were doing something until they ask you why you're doing it. But here's the deal. In 1752, Britain and the British Empire switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. And right around this time, early September of 1752, Britons went to bed on September 2nd. They woke up on September 14th. The calendar just switched. They lost those 12 days. So here to discuss the Julian to Gregorian switchover, how confused we can possibly make ourselves and listeners over the course of this podcast, and more importantly, whether we need to go back and issue corrections on all of the episodes we've done from before 1752, are Nicole Hammer of Columbia and Kelly Carter-Jackson of Wellesley. Hello there.
Hey there. I'm confused.
I'm stuck in an existential crisis about this entire podcast. What are we even? What is time? What is this day? Is this day a real thing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's like every time you do it, we do an episode about money. It's like, what is money? Now we're doing, what is time? And, you know, so listeners, yes, we're going to revel in the confusion here, much as people in the 1750s did when they did this switchover. But we will also try and provide some information. And it does seem like at some basic level, there are like two tracks on which these calendars were being assessed and the switchover from Julian to Gregorian happened. One is this larger shift from we're going to organize our, you know, lives and our world and our societies around a sort of religious worldview to a more Enlightenment technocratic worldview. And the other is a little more nuts and bolts related, but it's like the Julian calendar had some real inherent like math flaws in it. And the Gregorian calendar was an attempt to maybe rectify some of those.
Yeah. This is really important because the Julian calendar was off in its measurement of the solar year by 11 minutes. Yeah. And that matters because not only do you have this drift that could be fixed as we do our normal calendar with a leap day or something like that, but it just meant that the days were off more and more. So Easter, for instance, was more and more disconnected from the equinox. And that matters in terms of the holiday itself. And so you had to introduce a fix at some point. And countries on the continent of Europe fixed it super early. They fix it in the 16th century in 1582. You have places like France and Italy and Poland and Portugal and Spain all saying, okay, we're going to go with the good calendar. That's correct. And Britain, being Britain, hangs on to the old ways of doing things for a few hundred more years.
Yeah. And the Gregorian calendar is really the calendar that we all know. It's the solar calendar based off 365 days and broken up into 12 months. And so we know, we're familiar with each month having like 30 days or 31 days and February having 28. And then there's the leap year that's every 4 years. Like we, even though even all of that sounds confusing, we have adjusted ourselves to this Gregorian calendar. I cannot imagine, I was saying earlier how I get so messed up by daylight savings time. I cannot imagine taking away days, let alone adding days. I would be perpetually grumpy for a decade at least.
Well, especially when your life is so tied to the seasons and the calendar is a way of marking those seasons. And now all of a sudden you're saying, oh, well, those 10 days there, those 11 days there, you don't need those.
Right. But of course, the a solar calendar makes more sense because those seasons are consistent and they come around as a tying it to that. I think that what I'm trying to say is I think I'm pro Gregorian calendar, which I know is a controversial stance.
Can I one-up you, Jody? Yes. I am pro the Liberty calendar, which is something that's going to be introduced much later, but it's something that my dad used to talk about all the time when I was growing up. He would be so mad because he'd be like, you know what they could do? They could make every month 28 days. It would mean that the first of every month falls on the same day of the week. Second, on and on and on. Everything would be very ordered and regularized. You could have 13 months. That accounts for 364 days. You add a New Year's Day and then a bonus floater. And all of a sudden, you've got like the regular calendar. And it's just more orderly.
Yeah, anything where you're like, it's really simple. You do this and this. And then it's like, and then you just do this and this and this.
And then
this
you
and
take away four and add five.
Take care of it. Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
It's good. But look, the larger story here they're trying to paint, I think we're actually showing it, is one of confusion. And this is a period in which this switchover leads to a lot of confusion, a lot of politicization, different people moving at different speeds and different times, so to speak. It obviously has echoes of daylight savings time, time zones. I think we've done episodes on or referred to moments where, time zones were introduced and all of a sudden towns are split up or certain parts of the country that are holdouts on daylight savings. Like, that's all, and we see that. That's controversial now. There's a breakout conversations about daylight savings time happening all around, almost every year, it feels like. In this moment, to come back to this email we got from our listener saying, what date are you using when you talk about stuff before 1752? Are you using the Gregorian date or the Julian date? And I actually don't think I have an answer to that. our producer Jacob was sort of looking into this. I mean, we usually go off of, websites, Wikipedia, research documents. I think most of those are grounded in Gregorian assessment now, but there is a chance that when we say something happened on a certain date in 1751, it actually happened 10, 12, 13 days shifted from that, because I guess in theory it could be a lingering Julian date or whatever. But there's also this fascinating thing that happens in this period where, as the switchover is happening and there are certain countries that are holdouts, certain countries that are adopting it, you get this really fascinating thing where people are starting to use both dates at the same time. And so if you look at historical documents of the time, you will sometimes see people writing like two different dates to mark stuff. And so people were navigating this, no surprise, in real time.
It's remarkable to me how people interpreted the loss of days, because people thought that their lives were being shortened, that they had lost like 11 days of their life. And so it's like, now I'm going to die, a fortnight earlier than what I had planned. I mean, this starts riots, actually. I mean, there is literal chaos where people are out in the streets demanding, give us back our 11 days. Like, people don't know how to make sense of this. And I think it's, it's crazy that, again, if we trip over the loss of an hour, but 11 days is incredibly difficult to reconcile.
I'm going to declare myself on the side of the rioters, because my birthday falls within that chunk of days that were excised in 1752.
Uh-huh.
And where do those people go for their presents? Where do they go for their celebration that has been stolen from them in the midst of this big change?
You wait till next year.
No, but
that's
then,
unfair.
But what if? But they also get to say that they're a year younger than they actually were.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So if like you were about to have your 40th birthday and you were feeling all this sort of existential dread and your early midlife crisis, and all of a sudden you could be 39 forever.
But what if you were young and you were about to turn 21 and now you got to wait another year to drink?
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interfere.
So again, to just remind people what happened in September of 1752, it was basically decided that Wednesday, September 2nd, 1752 would be followed by Thursday, September 14th, 1752. Now that's 1752, but Kelly hinted at it. Never underestimate people's ability to get upset about something and to turn something into a political wedge issue. So even in the election of 1754, a couple years later, this remains a seemingly political issue between the election between the Whigs and the
Tories. Yeah. And there's a painting that's done by William Hogarth, and it's 1755. And in the painting, it's entitled An Election Entertainment, and it has a stolen Tory campaign banner that has the slogan, "Give us back, give us our 11 days. You can see it sort of in the lower right hand corner. And the Tories are outside the window in this picture demonstrating and picketing, and it's interesting because I think, you know, if you were not paying attention, you would sort of blow by this whole moment. But just goes to show you how transformative it was in the lives of people who were living through this.
And there were these real suspicions that this new calendar that had been imported from the continent was actually part of a Catholic conspiracy, that it was too popish a calendar for the people of Britain to use at a time when, again, like the distinctions between Protestant and Catholic were something many people still found worth fighting over.
Yeah. All right. I think I feel less confused.
Do you?
Now than I did at the beginning of the episode. No, I think
no,
I do.
I don't.
I think I can say that. Okay. So that's one less, one more.
I'll go the opposite. I'm right in the middle.
There you go. So we're going to call this episode a wash, but we really do appreciate getting this note as much as it set us up for confusion. And this is a very fascinating thing to think about. And I think a reminder that, like, everything can be manipulated and turned into a political wedge issue, including rotation of the sun. So, Nicole Hemmer, thanks to you as always.
Thank you, Jody.
And Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
This Day in Esoteric Political History is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. Our researcher and producer is Jacob Feldman. Our producer is Brittany Brown. Kala Nakua helps with transcripts. Julie Shapiro is executive producer for Radiotopia. Get in touch with us if you have any questions or comments or ideas for the show. You can email us thisdaypod@gmail.com, or you can find a form at thisdaypod.com where you can also get our full archives, transcripts, and learn lots more about the show. Follow us on social at thisdaypod on Instagram and Twitter, where we are posting stuff each and every day. My name is Jody Avergan. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Radiotopia.